This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn, and today Gulf Coast Live is diving into the world of podcasts.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
It's history.
Hello and welcome to the State of Shakespeare. I'm Garrett Vandermeer.
And I'm Jim Elliott.
And today,
if you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or...
Well, maybe you hear some familiar sounds in that clip, or maybe those intros and theme songs are a complete mystery to you. Well, today on Gulf Coast Live, we're diving into the world of podcasts with people making popular audio shows right here in South Florida. Today, an estimated 57 million Americans, roughly 20% of the adult population, listens to podcasts. But the audience for the on-demand radio audio shows did not happen overnight. The word podcast harkens back to Apple's well-known MP3 player, the iPod. Combining pod with the idea of broadcasting, a slew of podcast pioneers worked to create and deliver their shows back in the early 2000s. In 2005, an update from Apple introduced podcast subscriptions right on your device, and by 2012, more than a billion people signed up using the new podcasting app that now comes with every new iPhone. Now, podcasting is easy to access wherever there's internet, right on your smartphone, be it an Apple or otherwise. They're also accessible on your home computer, your tablet, and more. While podcast fans tend to get hooked and listen to hours of audio across multiple shows, most Americans, whether they're radio listeners or TV watchers, have yet to discover the on-demand variety podcasts have to offer, even when they're produced right here in their own backyard. Today on Gulf Coast Live, we're talking with the creators of three Florida-grown podcasts about everything from how they got their start to growing their online audience to what podcasts they listen to and how they explain what they do to people who may not have a smartphone or an MP3 player or may have never heard of podcasts at all. Joining us today from Fort Myers are the hosts of the self-described feminist nerd culture podcast called Spew, Shelby Elmore and Jesse Kaysen. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks.
Also in the studio today from Fort Myers is FGCU Professor Garrett Vandermeer from the State of Shakespeare podcast, which is produced here in Southwest Florida, along with a co-host who's based in New York. Welcome to the show.
It's good to be here.
And joining us from the other side of South Florida is Planted in Miami co-host Jeanette Ruiz. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
What podcast do you listen to? How did you get hooked on podcasting? Or are you scratching your head at the idea of what a podcast even is? Join us today as we talk about podcasts in South Florida. What have you always wanted to know? Call in and ask your questions at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCO. Okay, I have to be honest. I don't really listen to a whole lot of podcasts, but others here at WGCU are hardcore podcast fans. Garrett Vandermeer from the State of Shakespeare podcast. Why is podcast becoming so popular, do you think?
Boy, that's a really good question. I don't know. I'm aware that it's blown up a lot in recent years, but I can only speak from my experience as to why it's become popular.
So you became
for me.
So you got into podcasting and started did you like listening to it?
I think I started listening before I started doing must have. We've been doing the State of Shakespeare podcast since 2010. So mm-hmm. This is our seventh year now. But mm-hmm. I think I first became interested in podcasting when I was listening to programming that you would normally listen to on NPR. Mm-hmm. So shows like the Garrison Keillor show mm-hmm. and This American Life and Science Friday. Mm-hmm.
So did it become for you
Radio
like an act of convenience that it was always there and you could listen to it when you wanted to instead of having to be in the car certain times?
Yeah, I think that's exactly why I got into it, because I could load up my iPod with podcasts for long road trips or, mm-hmm. or if I was traveling at a time when, you know, one of those shows wasn't on, I could always have it there.
Yeah. And so Jesse Kaysen and Shelby Elmore with Spew Podcast, what do you see in the millennial generation that seems to make it so popular?
I think the overall trend with media in this generation is tailoring to your tastes with Netflix mm-hmm. and Hulu and all the different ways that we can bypass prepackaged media. And we can just say, I only want to watch and I only want to listen to what I want to watch and what I want to listen to. And I don't want to have to sit through the filler that I'm not interested in. I think that is the I don't know, the herald of why podcasting is such a big deal with the millennial generation.
It is a big deal, and some data to back that up. 1 in 4 Americans that are between 12 and 54 years old listen to podcasts, but only 11% of Americans over the age of 55 listen to podcasts. So I wanted to ask also Jeanette Ruiz with the Planted in Miami podcast. Your podcast covers art and culture in Miami, but also health and diet. Are there a lot of podcasts that focus on that particular topic?
Oh, yes. There's a podcast for whatever you may be interested in. We just chose that because of what we saw as trends in Miami moving toward – Miami kind of had a is having a renaissance. So there's more people in the community who are looking for a platform to share their stories. So that's why we created Planted in Miami.
Do you think there are a lot of podcasts out there that are of interest to people that are over 55?
Oh, absolutely. I think that it's definitely as you said, it's a growing trend, and since the topics are so varied, you could just go and search online for. I mean, if you like knitting, you could look. You know, I'm sure there's a podcast for knitting. It's incredible how many different podcasts come out every single day with various topics.
And it's interesting because you have to be into it to really like it. You know, so if you're not into knitting, listening to a podcast about knitting would 100% not be up your alley. And it would probably be painful, really. So before we get into what each of you do with your own shows, I want to try an experiment. So could you, and I'm going to start with you, Jeanette, could you try to sell me on podcasting? Make the case for the listeners here on the radio, people who may already like listening to their news and entertainment. Why would they care about a podcast?
Okay. I think that the portability of podcasts is what's most attractive because I like to just load up my phone with a bunch. And if I'm going for a long run or if I'm exercising outside or if I'm doing chores around the house, you just, you know, put your smartphone in your pocket and you can listen to your podcast. So that's what's most attractive to me. And I think that's what's most attractive to other people is you can download things that you're interested in and listen to it on the go. So I think that's the selling point for me, I think.
What sells it for you, Garrett?
I think that that's exactly why I'm
interested. Portability?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Portability. And, you know, you never miss an episode.
Oh, yeah. So it's always there.
It's on demand. It's ready for you when you're ready for it.
Yeah, same thing with Netflix. Now I understand why the correlation between Netflix. So why do you think?
I would say that, you know, a big part of it is we've already addressed as a group that you have these specific interests. I mean, you can literally go into the app and you can search, you know, Godzilla. And there's going to be Godzilla apps out there or Godzilla podcasts out there that you can listen to. So it is tailoring, like Jesse said, it's tailoring specifically your interest. And there's an abundance of it. There's usually more than one on sometimes the silliest topics you can find podcasts that are regularly updated. So you're getting this like overabundance of the thing you love most.
So Shelby, do you think that what if somebody had a Godzilla podcast and three people listened to it?
Shelby would have a Godzilla podcast.
I would.
Okay, so maybe not Godzilla. So maybe a sock monkey has a podcast. And
sure.
Like three people are interested in that. Does it fall off the radar? Is it something that gets squeezed out because nobody's really interested in it?
Not necessarily. There's been podcasts that were suggested to me, especially from Jessie, because she listened to podcasts when we started more so than I did. So she suggested some topics that I wouldn't have thought that I would have been all that interested in, but now I still regularly listen to them. So you might not even know that you're a sock monkey enthusiast until you listen to the Sock Monkey podcast.
Well, I think a good communicator can make anything interesting.
Absolutely. That's a huge part of it, too. You get attracted to the personality types on the other end of the podcast, and you start to really resonate with them. Jesse and I talk about our personal lives to a degree, and we'll have people locally come up to us and, you know, make remarks about it, usually hopefully positive. So you get attracted to the personalities as well.
Do you think it's personality, Jesse, that sells it? I mean, do you think that's what really gets people to keep coming back to a podcast?
Personality is a huge part of it. You can get more of an intimate connection with celebrities who have podcasts than you would probably get through, you know, their 180 character tweets on Twitter. And it also appeals to that desire that I think a lot of us still have for long form storytelling, which mm-hmm. is lost in this cable news 24-hour media
that
we have
now. It is very soundbitey. Yeah, you're right.
Very much so. So with podcasts, I can sit and listen to an hour-long podcast that has 12 episodes and just hear the same story being really digested and analyzed, and I'm not at all bored.
Yeah. So Garrett, with a Shakespeare podcast, what makes that what's a selling point on that? Is it the quality of guests that you get?
I think so. I think Jim Elliott, my co-producer in New York, and I start with the premise that our guests are infinitely more interesting than we are. And that, after a time, we've managed to find an audience, or they've managed to find us. We have almost 2,000 listeners every month, which doesn't register on the Richter scale. By you know, it's not nobody's you know banging down our door to have us advertise products. But that's actually quite a good reach within a very narrow niche audience of people that are really interested in Shakespeare and Shakespeare, modern day Shakespeare production.
And it kind of depends, I guess, on the goal of the podcaster. If they want to be speaking to the Shakespeare people, or if they want to take Shakespeare to the people that are not followers of the Bard, you know?
Yeah, and for us as producers, I think we would be doing it even if we had one or two listeners or nobody but our parents listening, because we get a lot out of the interaction with the guests. We're learning a lot, and I think that's really valuable.
When you're having to do the research and the tracking down and getting of the guests, that really kind of gets you more invested also in your story. So it makes it fun to put it together.
It does. It's a good way of keeping current in your field, and it gives you access to people that you otherwise would never have access to. Mm-hmm. We've gotten to the point now where press agents will come and pitch guests to us, and those are people that we wouldn't be able to talk to otherwise.
Wow. We're talking about podcasting with three podcasters who are creating shows right here in Southwest Florida. What have you always wanted to know about podcasting? Give us a call and ask our guests at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Now I want to switch into what each of your shows are about. So Jeanette Ruiz with the Planted in Miami podcast, I want to start with you. You're a blogger, yoga instructor, and advocate of a plant-based diet. Your podcast partner is likewise a plant-based athlete and advocate. What made you want to start a podcast?
Well, we actually, we realized that there was a renaissance happening in Miami, and there was a lot of people doing a lot of great things to push the city forward. And we're like, we should create a platform, i.e. a podcast, to allow them to share their stories. And like, it was just incredible when we started interviewing people and how many other people were recommended and how it just kind of grew, because people are interested in finding out what motivates other people to do positive things. So that was really the impetus for us, was to just continue telling these stories. And it's been 2 years now.
So the actual kernel was the discovery. You figured that Miami is going through a renaissance. You wanted to kind of get in on that and try to start spreading the good word.
Exactly.
All right. So are there a lot of other Miami-based podcasts that you kind of compete with, or are you kind of all on the same team?
Not necessarily. There are people who are podcasting in Miami, but it's not the same type of show. So it's not like direct competition, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And then so Garrett Vandermeer from the State of Shakespeare, you've had years of experience acting, and you have a Master's of Fine Arts, and you're also an assistant professor in theater here in FGCU. So you're kind of busy. Then you decide you wanted to carve out some time to make a podcast. Why do you want to do that?
Well, I think it's one of the ways to really become involved in your field, to be able to have conversations, in-depth conversations with those people who are experts. You learn an awful lot from them, as I said before. And I think that was probably one of our primary goals when Jim and I started doing this. When we started doing it, we were mostly actors and directors. And now we've both transitioned into being educators. So staying current in your field is very important. And this gives us access to the latest developments. It sounds funny to say the latest developments in the world of Shakespeare. I mean, he's been dead for 400 years. But our podcast starts with the question, how do you bring these 400-year-old words to life? And we talk to actors and producers and authors who are writing about Shakespeare or writing Shakespeare-inspired works. So it is really current.
So tell me about James Shapiro.
Oh, James Shapiro. James Shapiro is a very well-known Shakespeare author, probably one of the foremost Shakespeare scholars alive today. And he was recently a guest on our podcast. We talked about his latest book release. So that's an example of how we could have access to somebody who's foremost in his field.
But then he also gets to have access to your followers.
Oh, that's true.
And subscribers. So, and that helps him get the word out that his book's there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a good communication platform to get it spread through a number of different people.
Absolutely.
So shifting now from Gertrude and Ophelia to Wonder Woman and Diana, Jesse Kasen and Shelby Elmore from Spew, you've described your podcast as feminist nerd culture. What does that mean?
It's something that we actually kind of came up on together. I am a huge nerd. Jesse is a huge nerd. Whenever I approached her to possibly do a podcast, we didn't know each other that well, but we knew each other through a local feminist collective called Love Your Rebellion. And I knew that she had a Harry Potter tattoo and that we had talked a few times about nerdy content. So I asked her if she was interested. I don't think we thought it was going to go as far as it did. But the two things that we love most would be feminism and nerd culture. So we do talk about, you know, Harry Potter and comic books and, you know, science to a degree, too, everything that makes someone nerdy. And we also relate to it as feminists and as girls, because there isn't really a voice for that out there yet. It's kind of a boys club still, the nerd culture is. So we threw feminist in there.
We are talking with the creators of three local podcasts about what makes a good podcast and how you can find one that speaks to your interests. Give us a call with your questions or comments at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag of GCL. Our guests today are Garrett Vandermeer from the State of Shakespeare podcast, also Jesse Kaysen and Shelby Elmore from the Spew podcast, and Jeanette Ruiz from the Planted in Miami podcast. So I want to ask you all a question. There are some people out there, notably me, who have not really downloaded a lot of podcasts. So where do you go from the very beginning? Garrett, I'll start with you. What do? You start, turn on your phone.
Well, yeah. Well, the great thing is if you have an iPhone, the podcasting app is already included in the package of apps that come with the phone. So you just look for the app, which is the little purple app that says podcasts, and you
It's got a little guy in two circles.
Okay. Yep.
So, and is that the same for Androids?
So with Android, you would need to download a podcasting app. And the one that I prefer is Stitcher because it has – if it's on iTunes, it's on Stitcher. They're already connected. So it's a little bit easier than having to go into the Apple or into the Play Store and download an iTunes app because it doesn't come included. But you can get Stitcher, which is a little bit easier. And I think it's easier to use than iTunes personally. But
is Stitcher free?
Yeah, it's totally free. And it's the same sort of format. You can search for topics. You can search for titles. Search for people's names that you know are in podcasts, and you'll find a whole lot of content.
Android users can also use Google Play.
Yeah, Google Play is also another way you can do it.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And then along the bottom, do they all kind of have that format where on the bottom it says unplayed, my podcast, featured, top charts, and search? Kind of that sort of format?
More or less. There's a similar sort of interface for Stitcher.
So they're pretty similar, and those are self-explanatory little things there. So how does somebody get onto top charts? Is that based on Nielsen ratings?
It's hard to say with podcasts. I mean, I would assume that it's probably just popularity in general. Like, there's got to be some kind of algorithm behind it of people talking about it, of people commenting on it, listening to it. I know that iTunes doesn't track how many listeners it has, but it does track how many subscribers the podcast has. So that might be it.
And ratings. Ratings is factored into that as well. iTunes, you can go in and rate and review podcasts.
So it's going to have, you know, the ratings, number of subscriptions, number of downloads, and that, I guess, kind of goes into some kind of algorithm. And
right.
It comes out as the top 10, top 20.
Right.
We have a question from Facebook from Susanna Toko, WGCU Public Media. I can't call in, but I would like to ask Shelby Elmore and Jesse Kaysen how they have seen the podcast community grow with all women teams pioneering the full broadcast. Have you seen a lot of podcasts that are all women?
Locally, no. The only other one that I know of is the Roundtable Rebellion, which is the Love Your Rebellion feminist podcast. Nationally, there's a few more. There's Stuff You Missed in History Class. That is a it's a female-produced and co-hosted podcast about cool things that happened in history. You know, so there's a few out there, but it's definitely still overwhelmingly male, and a lot of amazing content is coming out. Thanks to dudes, but we would like to see more ladies.
Overwhelmingly male, like a lot of things. But, you know, there's beauty and fashion and cooking and things like that that I think you would assume that females would do. But on a national level, there's not really much locally.
So there aren't a lot of men doing motherhood podcasts.
No, actually, you know what? There's probably more men doing parenting podcasts that I've listened to than there is women. It's definitely like a boys club still. So.
Well, that Things You Missed in History Class sounds like an interesting one. So I want to write that down before I leave. What's it called?
Stuff You Missed in History Class.
Stuff You Missed in History
Class. We'll
convert you yet. That sounds good. Do you have any favorite podcasts that you just love to listen to, Garrett?
I have a bunch of them. I'm a big nerd, so I love listening to Coffee Break Languages.
Oh.
So 15-minute language lessons.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
That is nerdy.
It is so nerdy. And I like WTF with Mark Maron.
Yes.
Podcast.
That's a really
have
one.
You
that's
listened?
A good one.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Jeanette Ruiz, do you have a favorite podcast that you listen to?
Yes, I love Rich Roll. He is a plant-based athlete, and he has a fantastic podcast where it's an interview-based style. And I also like to listen to The Read, which is about pop culture, and they're a funny group over there. So I definitely listen to I try to listen to as many as I can. It's hard when you have a podcast to listen to podcasts because you're so busy focusing on yours. But yeah, those are my top two.
Yeah. Okay. So then I have another question. So if I'm not going to use my phone, can you still find podcasts on your computer at home? Is there a website at which you can look around for podcasts?
Yeah, iTunes and Stitcher are both websites. Well, iTunes is a website and it's an app, I guess, on an Apple computer, and then Stitcher.com. And there's actually a whole lot. There's SoundCloud is another place that you can find podcasts and music and all sorts of different audio. There's a ton of different ways you can look it up.
I would say the best way – oh, go ahead. I would say the best way to keep track is to find the social media of whatever podcast it is you're trying to listen to, because they might even switch platforms. Mm-hmm. Like for us in the beginning, we started on YouTube,
right?
which was kind of juvenile. And then we went to Stitcher and SoundCloud and iTunes, and it's been like a gradual, ladder up. So follow them on social media, find out where they're at, and they'll usually provide the links.
And Jeanette, did you have a suggestion?
And a lot of times podcasts put their shows on their website. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, we have our show on our website. So if you can't download it or you can't get to your smartphone, you can always just, get it online.
So how do you, Jeanette, tell me, how do you grow your audience? Do you outreach or marketing, or how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, since we're planted in Miami, I mean, we take it to heart and we attend events and everything that everyone that we interview, we really support them. So if they come on our show and they talk about a book, or they're talking about an event, or they just opened up a local business, like, we're out there, so we show them on social media that we're there supporting, and it's just grown organically that way.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to ask another question in the room. When you download a podcast, do you have to delete it? Is it taking up room on there?
If you download it onto your phone, it is taking up space. So after you listen to it, it's a good idea to delete it. If you're listening to it through the podcast app on iTunes, you're not necessarily downloading it onto your phone. It's just streaming through the app. Now, that does use data, though. So if you're on a limited data plan, you want to be careful with that.
Okay. So if you're streaming, keep an eyeball on your data.
Yes.
Yeah. But if you're downloading, make sure to delete it afterwards.
So you don't take up too much space.
So you don't take up all your room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's always a trade-off with content on
your
phone.
And lose room for your horoscope app, so
exactly.
You can make sure
right.
That you can be up there today. Those things are important. Mm-hmm. And you said that there's a way to set it so that it will automatically delete out?
Right. With iTunes, I believe you can set it so that once you've listened to it, it will delete. Or even if it's after a certain amount of time, if you haven't listened to it, it'll delete. That way you don't get bogged down with too many podcasts that you aren't listening to.
This might be a situation in which people might want to consult with their children or grandchildren.
Yes.
At that setting.
Go to those nice Apple geniuses. Make them show you how to do it.
They're so brilliant,
aren't they? Aren't
they? They are just so smart. So do you ever have to listen to advertising on podcasts? Does anybody have ads?
We don't have ads on Spew yet. We would love sponsors. Anyone wants to sponsor us, just give us a call.
Ditto.
A lot of podcasts, especially the more popular podcasts, do have sponsors through various subscription services or different products. The hosts will read basically an ad before, middle, or the end of the show, and that's sort of how they make their money back. They probably invest. Maybe they make a profit if they're popular. I don't know. But you do sometimes have to listen to ads. But a lot of them you don't. A lot of the smaller ones like Spew, we don't have ads.
Garrett, do you have any ads?
We don't have ads on our podcast, no. Mm-hmm. No, we did do a Kickstarter campaign a couple of years ago to help fund the podcast. They do cost money, podcasting
does
cost money.
Yeah, it does.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Jeanette, do you have any advertisers?
No, not as yet.
Okay, so how much does it cost really to start a podcast? Do you have to have great equipment? How does that work?
No. That's a big mistake that Jim and I made at the beginning. We invested hundreds of dollars in recording equipment, and we would bring guests into a studio when we'd rent a studio space, but now we do it all over Skype with $30 headphones.
Yeah. Luckily, Jessie is she's already an artist. She's a photographer by trade, so she already had the fancy computers and mixing. And we got like one mic that was probably what we thought at the time really, really good.
I think it was like $80.
Right. We were like, this is going to be like the end all. And we would just both record into it hunched over her computer.
Or sitting in my closet because we thought that would be good soundproofing.
It wasn't.
It was not.
I do wish that in the beginning we had invested a little bit more, because now if people wanted to go all the way back and listen to the very beginning, the sound quality is so, like, it's a pretty big difference to what we have
now. Well, that's like your middle school high yearbook pictures. I mean, you can't go back and fix that.
Right.
You know?
So we got lucky. We actually have have a few different friends who are audio engineers, either mm-hmm. aspiring or by actual career. So now we work with a producer, Lee Breschneider, who is also a local musician, goes by Breschneider, and he produces our podcast. He has all the great audio equipment because he's a musician, so he's able to make us sound beautiful and perky and happy.
That's how everybody wants to sound. Jeanette, can I ask you a question? Do you ever have, with your kind of a subject matter, it seems like a restaurant that serves vegetarian fare might come to you and say, hey, why don't you put something about our restaurant on there and then, you know, we'll pay you or we'll give you free food? Or does that ever happen? Do you ever have people come to you asking for you to promote them?
You would think so, right? But it does not happen.
Free food would be great.
We do a lot of free promotion. You know, we love Miami and we love the people who make it what it is. So we hope to one day have advertisers. So if they're listening, yeah, let's get it going.
So Planted in Miami is now in their second year, correct?
Yes, we just celebrated our second anniversary at it with a party this past Saturday.
So how are you able to keep that going for so long? I mean, you're saying it doesn't make money, right?
Right.
So is it kind of like, do you consider that another arm of everything else that you do?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, we've learned so much from doing the podcast. We've actually quit our quote unquote 9-to-5 jobs and we created a digital media company because we, like I said, we just learned so much from doing not only just the podcasting, but social media and videos and from all of the coverage that we've done over the years. It's allowed us to have the confidence to start our own business.
Yeah, because there are a lot of businesses out there that would like to get involved in that, but don't have the time to invest in it.
Exactly. And there's a lot of people that want to create a podcast. You know, there's some people that are releasing a book and they want to do like a short mini series on how, you know, what their book is about. And they don't want to sit there and learn how to podcast. So that's why we've created our company.
So overall, how does podcasting get paid for? Because you don't have to download the app and then you don't have to that nobody's paying the people that are making the podcast. I don't
blood, sweat, and tears, basically. I know, and I do know a few local podcasters that have a higher, I mean, if you're going by numbers, they have a higher success than we have achieved yet, and they still do it for free, and they actually have advertising on their podcast, and you would think that they're getting paid for it, but they're not. I mean, they're just giving out free advertisement for their friends that are also creative types, which we've done in the past, too. Mm-hmm. You have to have the equipment, and then you have to pay a subscription for whoever hosts your podcast, whatever website it is. You know, and that's about it. It really doesn't cost too much, at least it hasn't for us yet.
Right.
In social media, if you also know how to use that as a tool, then you really don't have to do marketing. Right. You know, not in the beginning at least.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at everybody going, that's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. You have to really love what you do. Like, yeah. That's ultimately what it is. You have to enjoy doing it.
Right. We do this because we want to see more feminist voices in the nerd culture mm-hmm. sphere. And if that means we have to invest a little bit of our own personal money to make it happen and we have to strong arm our friends into donating their talents to us,
right.
We will do that.
And disclaimer, you know, Jesse and I are obsessed with ourselves. So we do it just so we can hear ourselves.
That is also true.
Is there a bit of an ego involved?
Oh, absolutely.
Very much so, yes. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Garrett.
Well, on that note, I think one of the most important tips for success for us has been the fact that I work with a wonderful co-producer, Jim Elliott, in New York City, and it's great to have a partner to keep you on track. It's easy to sort of let other things mm-hmm. Take the time away from the work that you should be doing on your podcast, mm-hmm. but when you've got a partner to keep you honest, it helps a lot.
I could agree with that. I went through a pregnancy, and we had to take a second season because I had to give birth, you know.
So which was really selfish,
I think, inconvenient for podcasts taking over the world. But having Jesse there to, you know, support me as a friend and then be like, all right, time to get back in the studio, that was helpful. I might not have come back from it, you know, adding a baby to my life. So
yeah,
it's good to have a partner for sure.
Do you find that
my husband is my co-host, so it kind of works out perfectly.
That works great. Do you find, though, that a lot of people are using podcasts as kind of a supplemental to their existing business or something that can help maybe point people towards a business?
I actually thought that we would more because I'm an artist and I have projects going on all the time. Jesse is a professional photographer, and I kind of thought going into it that we could use it as a bit of a platform for us to get our other projects out there. But really, it doesn't seem to manifest that way. We end up talking more about, you know, know, what's happening in the world
and nerd culture. And what's happening locally. We like to promote like different events in Southwest Florida that fit within our topic sphere. So
it's brought up every now and then that we have other projects. But, I mean, it's really become our wind down, you know, on Wednesday nights when we record. We're not really thinking business-wise at that point. We have to kind of kick ourselves and remind ourselves to treat it like a business as we continue to grow in popularity.
Instead of just inviting everybody to come hang out with you on Wednesday nights.
Right. Which is what it's been until now.
So, Garrett, do you find it to be kind of a casual get-to-know people kind of a situation, more like hanging out? Because it seems like millennials approach it as a way to put on display, here's what I know and here's what I'm talking about and here's what's going on in our life. Do you do that at all with the Shakespeare?
Well, I think that we learn so much from our guests, and I think that's really what we get out of it. That's the primary motivating factor. At least it's been what sustained us. I think we had different ideas at the beginning of what this podcast might become, but after 7 years, it really is an opportunity for us to get to know what other people are doing and to learn from them and to share that with the world.
And Jeanette, over in Miami, you've met a lot of really interesting people, some multicultural chefs. I mean, some incredible folks have been profiled on your podcast. Have you found that that's been enlightening to your knowledge of Miami as opposed to, I mean, because you were raised kind of there too, right?
Yes, I was. I've been here since the age of two, so I claim Miami as my as my city.
So but like, what did you learn by being around these different people that you've had as guests?
I think the biggest thing was just this community that exists. Like my husband and I, we would travel to Portland and we'd go to Austin, Texas, and we'd see these like really support, you know, they have these support local initiatives. And we're like, you know, I just didn't feel that in Miami. And as we started interviewing these people and just like the growth of change in the city, we started noticing, like, yeah, you know what? That community is here. And that's why when we speak to these people and we share their stories, everyone is connected. Like when we had our podcast party this weekend, you know, some of the guests came and some of the listeners came and they were able to meet the person behind the mic, you know, and it was great to see because these friendships that they form, it's based on, you know, genuine desire to make the city great and to make each other great, you know. So that's, I think our payment with the podcast has definitely been this community that we've been able to form.
So you've been able to kind of gauge your success, not necessarily by the number of listeners, but the number of connections you've been able to make?
Absolutely. And the listeners keep growing. I mean, we've been listened to in over 80 countries, which is crazy.
Wow. Wow. Do you think that those are people from Miami that have moved away?
Or? You know, it's interesting. We don't know. We've had some people reach out to us. There's a listener in South Africa that she listens to us. She travels a lot and she listens in every city that she travels to. And, you know, she's not from Miami. Like she has no root. She's never even been to the States. So it's really interesting.
Well, from an international point of view, Miami is one of four cities in the United States. So a lot of people in Europe, when I was there, people know New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Miami. And that's pretty much it. So that's probably – that's like an international perspective of what the United States is made of. So – and in Miami was pretty famous and Miami Vice. And then also the lifestyle that you're talking about and the kind of renaissance and that plant-based kind of lifestyle and fitness I think is not just in Miami.
Right. Exactly. So, right. They're universal topics. Even though we're local podcasts, it's universal topics. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask everybody just one more time – give me your favorite podcast that you would suggest to somebody who has never listened to a podcast.
I personally love a wide variety of podcasts. And that's what the cool thing about podcasts is that there's almost anything you're interested in, there's a podcast for it.
What do you think would sell it to somebody?
If whatever you're interested in, someone out there is just as interested in it as you, is probably already talking about it in a cool way. So one of my favorite ones is a podcast called Lore, which is a horror podcast about folklore. So if you like scary stuff, listen to Lore. It's super spooky. And then I also really love political podcasts. There's one called More Perfect, which is just about Supreme Court cases. And they tell really interesting stories about Supreme Court rulings.
Wow, talk about niche. I mean, these things are just in their little corner and that's it.
Yep. Anything you want. It's out there in podcast form. I guarantee it. And if it's not, you can go make one yourself.
Now, is there any suspicion that there might be too much out there?
No way. There's never too many podcasts, ever.
You don't think?
Never.
So, Garrett, I looked on my podcast, you know, icon on my phone for the first time in many moons, and I looked up Shakespeare. There are a lot of Shakespeare podcasts out there.
There are a lot of Shakespeare podcasts.
Do you listen
to
the other ones?
No, I don't.
You can't listen to all of them. There's no way. That would be... You're like, because they're not as good.
There's only one you really need to listen to. It's the State of Shakespeare.
Oh, Laura won the 2015 Podcast of the Year by several podcast award organizations. My producer, Matt Smith, who loves podcasts, just let me know. But so you don't listen to other people's Shakespeare stuff?
I don't listen to other podcasts in the genre. I listen to a lot of other podcasts, but not in Shakespeare.
Not in your own?
Mm-mm. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if anybody's making comedy out of a Shakespeare podcast. Well, he was a comedian too. I mean, he had some funnies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you seen Drunk Shakespeare on YouTube?
No, I have not.
You need to look that up.
There's a lot that I need to look up. I just got to find a lot of time in the day. So where do you find the time to listen to podcasts? You do this like passively consume this kind of entertainment?
It is in your car. That is where everyone listens to their podcast.
When I wake up in the morning, I instantly put on the Rachel Maddow podcast and I listen to it as I'm getting dressed and as I take a shower. And like that's how I start every single day. So
some of these podcasts like her, would that be a podcast that was a recorded version of her show?
Yes. That's all it is the
just
podcast version
as a podcast
of her show.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just like with the TED Talks Now, which is like the NPR podcast. That was one of the first podcasts I ever listened to, and I didn't even know what TED Talks were at the time when someone suggested that I listen to them in the car on my drive home from work, and then finding out that it was just recordings of TED Talks that had been done before with a little intro in the beginning. So a lot of them actually are set up like that.
Mm-hmm. What would be an example of a typical show for you guys?
For her
for
and
nerd
I.
girl culture.
Well, there's always crazy stuff happening in the world of feminism or in the world of politics in general and social justice. So we
this
always
has been
have
a rich year.
Oh, yes. Yes, it has.
So a lot to talk
especially
about.
If you emphasize comedy, which we do. So there's always something happening in the news that we can talk about. And then as far as nerd culture, it's so broad. You know, there's comic book movies coming out all the time. Like I said, we'll reach as far as talking about stuff that's happening in the science world and astronomy because that stuff's nerdy too. So, you know, she'll bring a story that is interesting to her. I'll bring a story that's interesting to me. And our producer, Lee, he has usually throws in little tidbits as well. And it gets just thrown together. And honestly, it's just us yakking at each other or spewing at each other.
It's sprinkled in there just a lot of insults back and forth, too.
Between her and I. Right.
So you guys insult each other.
Yeah, we just like to pick on each other as much as possible.
And our producer. Poor guy.
Yeah, poor Lee.
So it ends up, you know, we have a model of what we want to do for the evening. And we're about a 30 to 35 minute podcast in average. So, you know, we have an idea of what we want to do, and sometimes it gets derailed, but it always, hopefully, makes people laugh.
And Jeanette Ruiz, a typical show for you is, are you usually talking with people in the plant-based diet world and things like that and athletes?
Well, even though my husband and I were vegan, that's not a requirement to be on the show. We do happen to have a lot of vegans on the show, but our podcast is unique in the respect that for the first half is me and him kind of like going back and forth, just like talking about our life and things going on in Miami. And then the second half is us interviewing the guests. So we actually go to their home, their place of business, and we have these conversations with them. And I think we're kind of funny too.
Humor's great. And then Garrett, you usually have guests that are discussing obviously Shakespeare.
Yeah, we have guests and our guests come from all over the world. Jim and I'm located here in Florida and Jim is in New York City. So when we talk to a guest, we're having a three-way conversation over Skype.
Yeah. Oh. Skype is wonderful for that. All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. We have links to all of your podcasts on our website at WGCUnews.org. But I want to thank our guests, Jesse Kasen and Shelby Elmore from the Spew podcast, Garrett Vandermeer from the State of Shakespeare podcast, and also Jeanette Ruiz from the Planted in Miami podcast. Thank you guys all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Enlightening
thank you.
Us and giving me the walkthrough on how to get involved in podcasts. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith. Our director is Richard Chinqui, and our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.